I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. James Cunningham joins me now, the host of Eat Street, has a new companion book to the popular television series, which incidentally has just started its fourth season on Food Network Canada and the Cooking Channel. There are 125 recipes in this book from some of the best food vendors in the world, trucks we've seen on the show. They're deliciously photographed, and from what I've read of the recipes, rather easy to make. I'll get Mr. Cunningham to tell us about the recipes in this book, some of the best food he's had here in Vancouver and beyond, and the popularity of the food truck phenomenon. Is it a fad? Is the food as good as that which you'd get at a more traditional restaurant? James Cunningham is the host and associate producer of Eat Street. He's also a comedian and a host that's been featured on Last Comic Standing, Just for Laughs, and Comedy Now. Other than the television show, he's a busy speaker, performing comedy and corporate shows, and his award-winning youth financial literacy program, Funny Money. James-Cunningham.com is the website for more. The book, published by Penguin, is called Eat Street, Recipes from the Tastiest, Messiest, and Most Irresistible Food Trucks. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, James Cunningham. Mr. Cunningham, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, yourself?
It's a beautiful day out here in the streets of Vancouver. Couldn't be going better.
Yeah, so you live in Toronto, though, is that right?
I live in Toronto, live and work in Toronto, but we shoot this show, and we travel all over North America and in England as well.
So I have a sense of what the food truck scene is like here in this city. What's it like in Toronto?
You know what? When you talk about the food truck scene in Canada, it's interesting because a lot of the people, a lot of the fans of the show, which there are many, thank you very much, but they what they do is they think that we're American because we shoot most of the TV show down in the States, simply because the offerings down there food truck-wise are so much more than what we have going on up here in Canada. We're a little bit behind, but I'll tell you, Vancouver and Calgary, I think, in my opinion, seem to be our two most progressive cities at this point. But my hometown, Toronto, sadly, I have to say that we're a little bit behind the times. There's about, to give you an idea of how it's looking, where we have in the GTA, we have about 5 to 6 million people, and we have about maybe 20-some-odd, a handful of food trucks. Portland, Oregon, a city that is smaller than Vancouver, has about 750, I think, 750. So to give you a sense of how sort of, I think a little bit further behind we are in Canada compared to our friends in the U.S., those numbers are, they say a lot.
What are they doing in Portland and Austin?
You know what they're doing.
That we should do in our cities here in Canada.
Well, what's really knocking out of the parks, for example, in Portland and Austin, what they did, and they were really smart about this, is they looked at all the permits that were being issued, and they said, listen, we're going to issue food truck permits, but what we're going to do is we're going to send them into areas that are a little more underserved by bricks and mortar restaurants. So what they did was they created these food truck areas, or these food truck pods, they call them. And what happened was that these areas that they created went from being, either abandoned or misused or, high crime areas where there's all these abandoned lots. They went from being these sort of, places that people avoid to suddenly places that people would flock to from all over the city because people tend to travel for good food. So what you had was you had now pedestrian traffic increasing. You had property values going up, and the city council sat back and said, wow, food trucks are actually a good thing for business. The question that we seem to get over and over again is that, restaurants must be upset because it's this war between, food trucks and restaurants and food trucks and restaurants. And really, food trucks and restaurants are two faces of the very same industry. Like, for example, I just pulled up here right now, and I'm looking at Vidge's Railway Express, one of the best food trucks in Vancouver, and in fact, I think in North America. What we lack in quantity, we definitely make up for in quality. So, Vidge, he's got a restaurant, one of the best chefs probably in North America in terms of Indian food. He has a very successful restaurant, opening another location as well. And what he did was he spun a food truck off from his restaurant. In Calgary, you have the exact same thing. Truck Cut Steakhouse, a 5-star steakhouse, spun a food truck, Alley Burger, off of their, off of their very successful restaurant. And then what's happening, for example, here in Vancouver, Japa Dog, you have a very successful cart, not even a truck, but it's a cart that was so successful, it's spinning off into a restaurant. So there's a lot of cross-collateralization that's going on, and people always say, like, oh, it's not good for this local economy, it's, the restaurants will suffer. It's not at all. Two faces of the exact same industry. And I think that in Canada, a lot of our municipalities are still kind of grappling with that. I mean, this whole food truck thing is so very new that a lot of the local governments and chambers of commerce are still figuring out how they fit into the whole, scheme of things. So it's a learning process. There's a learning curve indeed.
So it's not a fad, right? It'll be here to stay?
Oh, absolutely not. These things are here to stay. I'll tell you, I mean, like, it's like any industry. I mean, there's definitely an explosion of popularity. So there's a lot of people that want to get into the industry. And what we found with our show, I mean, we're into season four now. We're just starting season four, 26 brand new episodes. And so, I mean, we featured 120 trucks this year. And of those trucks, a lot of trucks, what was surprising us, they didn't even exist a year or two ago. So the industry's so brand new. People are watching our show, and they're going, oh, my gosh, food trucks look great. I want to get a food truck. And you really have to know what you're doing. I mean, it's not an easy industry. It is a lot of fun. I mean, we show very successful people on the show, and there are a lot of successful food trucks, and it is pretty popular. But it is a lot of work. So, you know, people, if it's a trend, absolutely. I mean, it's a trend. It's very popular. But there's good food trucks and good food truck owners, and there's also some you know, not-so-great food trucks as well. So those are the ones that tend to fall by the wayside and that don't make a go of it. But we tend to focus on pretty successful trucks that are doing something different, that have really passionate owners, really passionate entrepreneurial chefs driving the trucks and driving that business. So, I mean, it's a hard go of it, but you know what? Food trucks are here to stay. It's a whole new thing that we haven't seen in the streets of North America, and it's people are embracing it. You know, so I mean, it's definitely here to stay, and it's a long-term thing. It's not just a fad.
Yeah, and the people that you feature on the program, that are some of them are in this book, the people that run these food trucks, I mean, they're colorful people, they're fascinating, they're interesting, mm-hmm. They're also very creative, and I think that's the other key.
Absolutely, yeah, the creativity. They say that necessity is the mother of invention. I think that when you've got, you're forced to cook something in a small kitchen, a small space, or you literally have, you know, a cart or a truck or, you know, suddenly a really, you know, you have less to work with, you become more creative. I mean, when we trace the whole evolution of what this street food revolution is, it really started back around 2008 when the economy took a bit of a downturn, and suddenly you had all these very high-end creative chefs that found themselves out of work. So what are their options? Do you, you know, scrape together a couple $100,000 and open a restaurant, or do you, you know, get a couple $1,000 and lease a food truck? And so what you suddenly have was these chefs that had been working for other people in other restaurants, now they had their own restaurant on wheels. So the gloves came off, you know, and they weren't really only, you know, limited by their creativity. So you had all this now, this new blending of, you know, North American comfort food, like macaronis and cheeses or grilled cheese or, like, you know, fries or hot dogs. But then you add a gourmet element into it. So you have like a Japa dog or like a Fries and Dolls or like a, you know, a gourmet poutinerie. So you had, that's what started. And now it's evolved completely into just almost like entire gourmet restaurants on wheels. I mean, there's certain restaurants like Spencer on the Go down in California, which is literally, I mean, I would put it up against any a la carte restaurant. I mean, they you know, they set up tables outside. There's another one that is a converted double-decker bus, mm-hmm. that you get on this bus, and it's basically like almost like a five-star restaurant on a bus. So it really ranges. It ranges from everything from carts to, you know, being pushed around by one guy to, you know, converted fire engines to, you know, wood-burning fire oven pizza stoves. You know, I mean, like, it's such an insane, wide, creative variety. It's just been such an honor to watch all this creativity explode all over the place. It's just great.
And one can cook anything in a food truck?
You know what? I wouldn't say one can cook anything. I mean, we have had a lot of creative examples of what can come out of a food truck that you never thought possible. We've had converted semi-trailers on the show that had their own rotisserie chicken racks. We've had you name it, I think we've seen it, but I certainly wouldn't want to. I think someone mentioned yesterday that you couldn't do things like, you know, you couldn't do like a roast, beef Wellington or something mm-hmm. like that. I mean, it tends to be, you know, food that can be prepared somewhat quickly, because obviously you want to get your customers served as quickly as possible. But in terms of the actual styles of cuisine that's coming off, and the dishes are very high end. I mean, you'd be quite surprised if you haven't checked out what a food truck is in your local area here. I mean, please do it, because you really have a lot to be proud of here in Vancouver, and your food truck owners and operators are working very hard. So get out there and check them out for lunch.
There's a recipe in the book for oysters, and I've always thought oysters were hard to prepare, but I mean, if they can do it in a food truck,
as they do in the book. Well, you know what, I think, you're talking about Drago's Oyster, Drago's Engine Company out of New Orleans, and that's what I was talking about. It was a converted, if you can believe this, it was a converted fire truck. So it was this Drago, who was a second-generation restaurateur, bought an old municipal fire engine and converted it. All the plumbing now, he put soda fountains in, and he serves alcohol, pumping it through there. And then he converted the back of the truck into a barbecue that broils oysters. So, I mean, now it's not a really complex recipe, but I mean, as you say, if he can do it, it's not that difficult. But most of the recipes in the book tend to be fairly simple. Some of them are a little more complex in terms of their preparation, their requirements, but the vast majority of them tend to be spin-offs of North American comfort food. And with summer coming up, if you're having friends over, it's a great book to pick up.
Indeed, yeah. The role of social media in all of this, I mean, it's been
huge.
Indispensable, hasn't it?
Huge. In fact, I would say that's probably the second most important factor. If you could attribute this whole movement to, the first movement would be the fact that now you had gourmet chefs behind the wheels of trucks. And the second and almost equally important factor is the advent of social media. Because now you've got people walking around with their smartphones, and now what you have is you have very social media savvy truck owners that are able to keep in touch with their fan base or their customer base. So whereas before, a truck would have to pull up along the street and basically hope that people, wandered by or found them. Now, because the food trucks are transient in nature, they move around a lot. Now, what the food truck owners can do is they can tweet their locations or use Tumblr or Yelp or Facebook, and they can tweet their locations. So now their fan base can find it. So what's happening is food trucks are pulling up to locations, and there's already a lineup of 20, 30 people waiting for them. And even what we did with the show Eat Street is we created from scratch a brand new app. It's called the Eat Street app, and it's downloadable for free at the iTunes store. And we also have a Droid application as well, but now you can use your phone to GPS and locate the trucks that are directly in your area.
Now, I looked on your website. You have a pretty busy schedule with Funny Money and
yes.
Other things you do.
Yep.
You do something like 300 dates a year, is that right?
Oh, we do quite a few dates, yeah. I mean, I have several careers. My favorite career, of course, is driving around and flying around North America tasting free food. That's definitely my my number one. But I also own a company called Funny Inc., and I'm also a stand-up comic, and I do a lot of lot of things. I'm also a very aggressive entrepreneur, and no food truck yet.
Yeah.
But I've been in show business now for about 15 years now. So I've been all over North America. And my experience about food trucks was literally, it used to be coming out of a comedy club at 1 o'clock in the morning and going, well, there's nothing else to eat. I guess we'll go to the gyro truck. We'll go find the fry truck or the hot dog truck. And so it's actually been a real learning curve for me because this whole journey has just taught me so much. Apparently now I'm one of the leading world experts on food trucks.
Yeah.
So that's been a pleasant journey.
Yeah, if you had to start your own food truck, what kind of food would it serve?
Good question. From what I've seen, I would say, and here's my idea, and I got this idea from someone. I was out doing some stuff out in Saskatchewan recently, and as a Canadian food truck, I don't know if I do it in the U.S., but as a Canadian food truck, I would do bannock.
Huh.
Because apparently with bannock, you can deep fry it, you can cook it, you can roast it, you can do like 9 million things with it. And I would call it the Big Bald Bannock Mobile. That's what I would call it.
There you go.
Yeah. And that seems to be like, and the reason I say that is because the most successful food trucks, if they're not chef-driven food trucks where they change their menu quite a bit, then what they are is they offer basic, simple menu items that everyone's familiar with, but that can be spun off into a new creative and gourmet direction. So, like if you have your basic item, like I mean, a lot of cars are like a lot of trucks are like, they use their base macaroni and cheese or base wings or base fries or something like that, but then they spin it off into another direction. Those tend to be very successful trucks.
And looking at the book, it's beautifully photographed. The stuff in here is pretty easy to make, right?
You know what? We have a range. Like, the vast majority of it is pretty simple. Like I will say, and I say it in the first few words of the book, I am not a chef, and I am not a cook. And yet I can make most of these recipes. So it's actually, it's idiot-proof, because if I can make it, I think pretty much anyone can make it. our recipes, they were we just went out, we contacted most of our chefs, most of our food truck owners, and they were more than happy to provide us with some of their best recipes. We were actually shocked at the replies we got.
Yeah, and the book's doing well, right?
The book's doing very well. We're already a bestseller, so that's exciting. In our first 2 weeks, we're pretty excited about that. Now, we've got a great fan base from our show, but, I mean, it seems that people really, really want the idea, and it is a pretty good book. We're pretty proud of it.
Yeah, it is.
Penguin did a great job working with us, and they're a cookbook division, and they take the culinary arts very serious. They actually have their own test kitchen, and they put a lot of these recipes to their paces before they made the book. So, we're pretty proud of it.
Yeah, congratulations on this book, and enjoy lunch today.
Thank you very much. You going to come down and meet me?
We'll try. Well, today
I'm at the corner of Thurlow and
Georgia.
Thurlow and Georgia. Come on down. We're at Vidges Railway Express.
The book is called Eat Street: Recipes from the Tastiest, Messiest, and Most Irresistible Food Trucks. It's published by Penguin. The website for more: james-cunningham.com. James Cunningham on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.